Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us on the DriveCast today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 8 through 18. I'm not going to read all of them for us, primarily just 8 through 12 and 13. But I always want to remind you as well that there's written devotional content for us in the LifePoint Ohio app. Just select the DriveCast button and then hit notes, and you can find devotional content right there. This passage to me is so incredibly encouraging. I'm going to read a few verses here for us. It says this, and in the same region as Joseph and Mary, so the region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, first, I think it's significant and noteworthy that of all the people chosen to receive this first message about the birth of Christ are shepherds. So you've likely heard this talked about before, preached before, but it's a significant point. And Luke includes details very intentionally. Remember, his goal here in laid out in chapter 1 is to provide certainty for his friend Theophilus concerning that which he has been taught. Of course, that which he has been taught is referring to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so why then does Luke recall and recount this historical moment where angels appear to shepherds out in the fields in the outskirts of Bethlehem? Well, I think because it's a picture of the gospel. And here's why I believe that to be the case. We know from historical documents and evidence that shepherds at this time were often viewed as outcasts. They were viewed as untrustworthy. And the reason being is that, of course, in taking care of the flocks and being nomadic in nature, they didn't have, acres of fences. They had wherever they needed to go, they were able to go in order to ensure that their flocks were well fed and had ample water. And so because of this, they were traveling out in the wilderness with really no end. And because of that, they were not able to meet the specific requirements that had been established and laid out by the religious elite of the day. See, over time, while God had initially given the over 600 laws laid out in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, religious leaders over time created additional laws, and I think with good intent, but that got corrupted over time, created additional laws that prevented people from breaking God's laws, like fences around the law. And so some of those laws had to do with specific attendance at synagogue. And if you weren't able to meet those requirements, you were then viewed as ceremonially unclean. And these shepherds who were out in the wilderness, they were then viewed by the religious leaders of the day, and therefore by the general population of the day, as ceremonially unclean. And so God then shows up to a group of people who are unclean. I think that's significant. And then accompanying the angel is the glory of the Lord shining around them. This points us backward to the same glory of the Lord that we see throughout the Old Testament that appeared to Abraham in Ur. The same glory as Moses encountered on Sinai in Exodus 31. The same glory as in the tabernacle in Exodus 40, 34, and 35. The same glory that appeared at the dedication of Solomon's temple in 1 Kings 8, 11. The same glory that Ezekiel saw depart from the temple in Ezekiel 10, 4, 18, and 19. And then in chapter 11 as well. The same glory shines around these unclean shepherds. And their response, of course, is absolute terror in response to the angel and response to the glory of the Lord. And in this, that is a picture of us needing to understand that in and of ourselves, in our sinfulness, standing in the presence of God is absolute terror, because God and sin are like oil and water. They cannot mix. And so God is showing very clearly this terror. And then here comes the good news, the gospel. The angel says, "Fear not." Why do they, are they able to not be afraid? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So because a Savior is born, they don't have to be afraid in the presence of God. That's absolutely incredible. And then what we see the shepherds do, I think, gives us a pattern. And in the shepherds, again, we see the gospel that we're all unclean, and that standing again in the presence of God is an absolutely terrible and terrifying thing. But through faith in Christ, we are viewed as righteous. We are given Christ's righteousness, not because of our own merit, but because of his work in our place. And therefore, then we can stand in the presence of God, not in shame, but in rejoicing. And we can, like the shepherds, run into the presence of God because the Savior is born. And then, like the shepherds, as we later then see, as they go and tell everybody what it is they had witnessed. And the angels begin singing just this incredible song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Well, how do we enter into a state of God being pleased with us? Well, the only way to do that is through faith in Christ. And so would we then learn from this experience, learn from this narrative, historical account that Luke presents to us, to respond in the same way that the shepherds do, which is ultimately in an acceptance and in a faith that what God has said is really true, to go to run toward Christ, and then to tell others about him, and to sing about the glories of God and what he has done. And so with that an end in mind, I want to say thanks again for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow, and that this week, as we go and continuing in our week, we would just be filled with an awe and an appreciation and a wonder for what Christ has done for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you show us in this birth narrative a picture of the gospel, that you remind us in the picture of the shepherds and in the place of the shepherds, that we're all unclean, and we're all in our sin in and of ourself, but we can, through faith in Christ, we can enter into your presence, not in terror, but because, Jesus, you have been born, because you lived perfectly in our place, we can enter into your presence with joy and with thanksgiving, and we can sing your praises and sing how you are so glorious and so good and so faithful. And so allow us to respond in the ways that we ought to. Allow us to see, Jesus, what you've done for us. And would you be given glory in and through our lives in response? It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.